Hello everyone, it's Jana here with Gentlemen, and it's a Friday, thank goodness for that. I'm off home after dropping off Henry at school. He likes to go in by himself now. Actually, we coincided with one of his friends at the gate, so he likes to be dropped at the gate and then he makes his way the rest of the way by himself. So he went in with his friend today. So it's kind of, it feels like, oh, the end of another era. He's kind of quite happy to get rid of me. Having said that, apparently, we had a note from the school. Apparently a child was followed home the other day. And that was recorded. That was reported to police. Oh, that house is coming along nicely. Well, there are lots of really big houses along here now. The original ones are tiny little bungalows. And now they're getting bigger and bigger. So that's a bit of a worry, obviously. Alright, what else? Now, I've got one appointment today. And otherwise, I've got a lot of paperwork to fight with. All sort of things that I didn't get around to doing all week. So that should keep me busy. Also just caught up with a friend before she goes off to work. So yeah, good start all round. So I caught a bit of question time last night. And of course they were talking about the budget. And the papers are full of the budget, but mostly the fact that the Tories broke their election manifesto promise of not raising national insurance or taxes. Now, I didn't hear the whole speech that the Chancellor gave, but he was, apparently he didn't mention Brexit once, which is quite an achievement. He was just talking about changed circumstances the whole time, apparently, and I find that a bit so they're happier. So him and his cabinet colleagues seem to be happier to defend the national insurance rise with some flimsy excuses rather than just saying, look, when we made the manifesto, things were different. Now, you guys voted to leave the EU, and we got to pay for it, isn't it? That's what it is, isn't it? He can't use the NHS as an excuse because he's not giving it that much more money, even though it's good that they gave some money to social care. Then again, someone pointed out they're only giving half back of what they took out previously. So not sure how much of a difference that's going to make, really. And obviously not enough money is going to schools. I mean, if we have a situation, it's quite frightening, where schools in Sussex, I think, schools have written to parents to say they might have to introduce shorter school days or do a four-day week because they can't afford to run the school anymore. And her teachers having resigned because they don't want to sack any staff. Because they can't make the books balance. I've seen how this works. So the government seems to say, oh, schools in the private areas, oh, we need to give them extra money. So they go by that. But then schools in the private areas tend to have more pupils that attract something called pupil premium. So if their parents are so poor that they get free school meals, the school can apply for this pupil premium, which is over £1,000 per pupil. So in deprived areas, there'll be loads of pupils like that. So the school will have loads of extra cash already. Whereas in fairly well-to-do areas, the school won't have that many pupils, so they'll miss out on that cash. Plus the government saying, oh, well, you're an affluent area, so you don't need that much money. Which is like, really? But in an affluent area, everything costs more. Services cost more. Everything's more. So I'm not entirely sure. And they've not made this any fairer either in their recent refunding recalculation thing. Looking at the budget, it doesn't look like normal schools get any more money. But I was just interested to look at the headlines and to see who the papers are blaming. But if the Tories are getting themselves a bad name because they've broken an election manifesto and people stop trusting them so much, then maybe that's a good thing. That is a good thing, because at least that means hopefully there's going to be a little bit more scrutiny of what the government is doing, driving through their ideology-based version of how Britain's withdrawal from the EU should look like. And I think that should be scrutinised a bit more, because at the moment it just looks like they're trying to sideline Parliament, as I said yesterday. So someone needs to keep a closer eye on them. I was also quite surprised because they were talking about the national insurance rise. Oh, that'll only affect 15% of the population. Like, that's a really tiny amount. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Because last year, after the referendum, they were talking up, oh, manufacturing is doing so well. So look how well we're doing. The economy is doing really well because manufacturing is doing well. Yeah, manufacturing is 20% of the UK economy. They never talked about the nearly 80% that is services. So how come the small figure, you know, it's important when they want to, but it isn't when they don't want to. So I thought that was interesting. And also, apparently, what the budget did was gave a lot of tax breaks to huge corporate companies. I've heard the number of 9 billion. Not sure if that's true. This is just going by what I sort of picked up. Whereas this national insurance increase is for self-employed people, so that'll be really small companies. But they're the ones that provide growth and provide jobs. So it kind of looks, if you take a step back, what exactly is the government trying to do? So it's giving tax breaks to the really big companies. So it's trying to attract those. And that's all we kind of hear in the news. It's always, oh, this big company has invested and this big multinational is looking to have its EU headquarters somewhere else. That's all you ever hear about. But what about the thousands of really small companies? Just for comparison, to give you a figure, I was quite surprised by this. You know all the big German companies? You know, there's quite a few that are well-known global companies. BMW, Thyssen in the steel industry, Linde in gas, Schott in glass, Siemens in pretty much anything, Bosch, you know those, the ones we know of. Well, there are many more that are really big global companies. But actually, apparently, 99% of German companies are SMEs, small and medium-sized companies. I was really surprised when I heard that. And those are clearly the backbone of the German economy, and they seem to be doing quite well of it. So I was quite surprised that with Brexit and everything, and having to, you know, global outreach, whatever, that the government seems to be concentrating on those big multinationals rather than fostering, you know, and even if that national insurance rise isn't such a huge deal, but small businesses are also going to be hit by the business rates that have been recalculated, and apparently they're going to have to start paying these new rates from April. We're now well into March, and from what I hear on the news, a lot of people haven't actually received them yet. They don't even know yet what they're going to be paying in a few weeks' time, and the business rates are really, really outdated model as well that the businesses are complaining about. So they're going to be hit by sort of double or even triple whammy. I think that was something else. So I'm just thinking, you know, it doesn't look like the government wants to foster this backbone, even if it's just perception, but it's making it actually harder for the small businesses. But they would be the ones providing jobs. So yeah, so it's quite interesting from that point of view, I guess. Anyway, thanks for listening. Have a good weekend.